Good morning, brothers and sisters. Turn with me, Paul's letter to Titus. Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. Last week we meditated on the duties of older women. Paul calls them to utilize their old age for Christ's glory. As we meditated, as we understood what God said, that they are not extra players in the church. Even they are main players in the church. They have to play their main roles in the church. That is training young women. At the same time pursuing Christ-likeness. We have seen two ways that older women utilize their old age for Christ's glory. Pursuing Christ-likeness, then thinking about their godliness, how they walk with Christ. Then second way they can utilize their old age for Christ's glory is training younger women in godliness. Today we meditate on the duty or responsibility of young women. But Bible is so practical that it addresses all kinds of people. It speaks with older men, older women, young men. It speaks to everybody because it is God's word. Especially the word of God makes fools be wise. That is the thing. Becoming wise means walking according to the word of God, having godliness in their life. One of the key reasons that young women are useless for Christ and for their families and therefore society is they don't understand their God-given role. They are not focusing on what God wants them, but just attracted by the world, philosophy and human traditions. As we heard many times, feminism, right? Did you hear? Feminists, they focus on, like, they are just unbiblical. They are not sound doctrine. They are not coming from God, but coming from Satan to distract young women so that they can do sin more. We know that what happened with Adam and Eve. When Eve tried to rule Adam, what happened? Sin has come into the world. So we know that there is a role for women that is given by God. That's what Paul is going to focus in chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. As he exhorts older women to train younger women. But one man of God said like this about young women. He says like this: the true female victims today are not women who are willing to bound by love to the Lord, to their husbands, and to their children. The true victims are rather those women who have been deceived by unbiblical and satanic feminist ideas about being liberated from God and from the home. Those who are being liberated from God, from home, they are victims. Those women, not victims, who can love God, who can love their home, who can love their husbands as well. Today we understand, we are going to look at the duty of younger women that glorifies Christ so that they can be useful in the church. In greater way. As I said, even younger women are needed in the church. They are most important. Not only pastors and older men, young men, even young women are needed in the church. Especially, they need to focus on their godliness. So we can read Titus chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. We can read 3 onwards. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. He says like this: older women, likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. As we meditated last time, we focused older women. So today we are going to focus on young women. The theme of this portion that I have given is, younger women, be trained in godliness. Younger women, be trained in godliness. So that is your most important job that God has given to you. You need to train yourself in godliness. That's what he is saying. The young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, being kind, being subject to their own husbands. Did you see godliness of young women? Very clearly we can see from the text. Then he gives the motivation as well, why they should pursue, why they should be trained in godliness. The reason he says, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Young women, be trained in godliness. Titus has to teach older women to train younger women in godliness. So young women must train themselves in godliness through older women. They should not always be friends with young women. Younger women should have friendship with older women. Even though sometimes older women, they are busy, they are sinful sometimes, they won't focus on training younger women, but you need to have friendship with older, at least one older woman, so that she can train you in godliness. This is the way God made. This is the way how God is going to train you in godliness, that is through older women. Are you willing to be trained under older women who is mature than you? Don't think that you know everything. Don't say, I know everything, but say, I know one thing, that I don't know everything. Did you get my point? You need to say, I know one thing, that I don't know everything. So I need to go under, I need to be trained through older women. But be careful, whom should you choose? All older women are not godly. They are just ungodly. Just you have to use your brain, think about, speak with your elders and talk with them, and you can take training from them. Even it is apply for older women, you need to train younger women as well as you seek godliness. If you go under older women to take training in godliness, so that is called humility, right? This humility is the most important mark of your godliness. But we know, right, who is younger woman? The age 45 below. Above 45, they comes under older women. Below 45, those women comes under younger women. We know that. But here we focus two things younger women must know to be trained in godliness. The first thing that younger women must know to be trained in godliness is, you should know this thing, important thing, that is the marks of godly young women. The marks of godly young women. Not everybody is godly. Not every young woman is godly. So there is a qualification, there is a quality that God has asking from young women. The marks of godly women you should know. Here we have five marks of godly young women. Five marks of godly young women. First mark is being lovers of their own family. being lovers of their own family. So this is first godly mark of young women, being lovers of their own family. Look at verse 4 says, the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Husbands and children. It is talking about family. You should love your family members, your own family members. A loving husband, if you think about the love, but he says they have to love their husbands, they have to love their children. Two people that they should love in their family. First people that they should love in their family is their husbands. Most important person in their life. Did you see that? But most of the time, even the Holy Spirit wrote, husband is first, not children. So you have to love your husbands. Loving husband means having affection, having a deep affection with husband. Most of the time, if you read the text, the husbands has to love their wife, right? You read many times in marriages, so many times, husband, you love your wife, right? But if you see here, even wife has to love her husband. That's what Paul is saying, which means she must have the great and deep affection for her husband. That's what Paul is saying. But love is the first and foremost basis of marriage, right? If there is no love among husband and wife, that is not called marriage. Husband has to love, even wife has to love husband. What does it mean, loving husband? To love your husband. It means, it doesn't refer to the love of emotions. It is not talking about emotions, but it refers to sacrifice and service to your husband. If you are sacrificing some things for your husband, if you are serving your husband, that is called loving your husband. It is not like, I love you, honey, I love you, baby. It is not a love it means. Here it is talking about service. It is talking about what you are sacrificing for your husband. That's what Paul is saying. Do you have service for your husband? Are you sacrificing things for your husband? Then you are loving your husband. But all the women, they have to train younger women, that younger women should love their husbands. The sacrifices and services that a young woman has to do for her husband. What are the sacrifices? What are the services that young woman can do for her husband? She has to sacrifice her time and her strength to serve her husband. She has to look after him when he is sick. Don't neglect him. If you have deep relationship with him, if you have love for your husband, she has to assist him in leading home activities. Don't say that you are husband, you do everything. Just I sit and I sleep and I eat. Don't say those things. You have to assist your husband in leading home activities. Do you know, sisters, husbands should run home from work. He should think, when should I go to home? Because you love him. But some husbands, they don't want to go to home. Because these ladies, wives are not loving them. Just they want to spend time with other friends. They want to spend time with other things in the world. Because they don't want to come to home because she is not loving. These things may happen in the world, but it should not happen in the church, in Christian families. She loves him more than anyone on the earth. When husband knows my wife loves me, he can run to home to meet her husband, her wife. So you need to create those atmosphere in home. You need to love him. She does what pleases her husband, even it is painful and hard. Sometimes it is some things are very hard and painful, but you need to do to please your husband. But don't do unbiblical thing to please your husband. But otherwise, try to do everything to show that you love him. You have deep affection for your husband. Charles Spurgeon wrote these things about his wife. He tribute to his wife these words. He said, "It is so amazing." Please listen carefully, sisters. He said like this: "She delights in her husband, in his person, his character, his affection. To her, he is not only the chief and foremost of mankind, but in her eyes, he is all in all. Her heart's love belongs to him, and to him only. He is her little world, her paradise, her choice treasure. She is glad to sink her individuality in him. She seeks no renown for herself. His honor is reflected upon her, and she rejoices in it. She will defend his name with her dying breath. Safe enough is he where she can speak for him." Do you know what he is saying? Sometimes when wife speaks something, her husband will be humiliated in front of others, right? But he is saying that safe enough is he where she can speak for him. His smile, gratitude is all the reward she seeks. Even in her dress, she thinks of him and considers nothing beautiful which is distasteful to him. Even wearing dress and clothes, she pleases her husband. This is called loving your husband. Everything, you are like your husband will be little world to you after Jesus Christ. You need to love him. You need to love him. Great words, right? Great words. Charles Spurgeon wrote about his wife. So are you loving like that? Are you thinking like that? Are you showing affection like that? So you need to think about it. The second people that they should love in their family is their children. Not only their husband and also their children. Look at verse 4, which says, "Young women to love their children." To love their children, they should be the best wives, and also they must be the best mothers if you have children. But don't think about these things. If you don't have children, don't feel bad. But when God gives you children, that time you need to be the best mother. Be a best mother. That's what God is asking. If you see what a great role that God has given to them, brothers, especially sisters, great role God has given to you. But we know one survey says that children who are trained by their mothers are doing well for Christ. And children who are trained by others are not growing well for Christ. They are becoming rebellious because mothers are not spending time with their children. Just others and maids and assistants are looking after children. They are not growing in Christ. Why they are not growing? Because they are not experiencing the love of their mothers, which can motivate them to seek the love of Christ ultimately. Loving their children is, again, having affection for their children. Do you have affection for your children if you have children? Loving children refers to sacrifice and services of a mother for her children. Here we have, I want to give you some marks of loving mothers. Resigning their job for their children if it is needed, because job is not most important than children. Cooking for them healthy food and snacks. Don't buy them always samosas, whatever you get outside. You need to prepare snacks and things for your children because you love your children's health. If you don't know, don't say, I don't know how to cook. You have to learn it. You have to learn it to do this. Take caring of their health by feeding them on time and by giving them medicine on time when they are sick. Giving baths every day and buying the gifts, right clothes for them. Disciplining them when they do sin is a part of mother's love. Part of mother's. These are the some things just I am bringing in front of you, that you need to love your children. You need to love your children. You should be the best mother. You should be the best mother. You should be a best wife for your husband, for your children. You should be the best mother. So this is the first mark of godly young woman, that is being lover of your own family. The second mark of godly young woman is being excellent in their own character. Being excellent in their own character. Look at verse 5. It says, to be sensible and pure. Here we have two qualities, young women who are excellent in their own character. First quality is having self-control. Look at verse 5. It says, sensible. Sensible refers to having self-control. Literally, it means being in control of oneself. We can say prudent, thoughtful, being wise and controlled in their desires. Young women should limit their desires, or they should be in control of themselves. They must be thoughtful whatever they do. When they have self-control, then they make decision about what is right, what is wrong. They can choose the right priorities if they are in control, if they control their desires. That's what it means. But so many young women, they don't control themselves. Especially, they won't control their desires. This is the one of the qualification of elders. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2. And Titus chapter 1 verse 8, it says, 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2, an overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent. Prudent. In Titus chapter 1 verse 8 says, but hospitable, loving what is good and sensible. The same Greek word used. This is the qualification, one of the qualification of elders as well. And this is qualification for younger women as well. You must have control yourself and choose the right priorities to make the right decision for your godliness. Do you have self-control over anger when you upset with your husband, when you upset with your children? You have self-control? Do you have self-control over your desire to buy unnecessary things when you go to market? I know you are all our pastor's wife right here, but you should not have the great, great desires. You should control yourself what to buy, what you should not buy, because your husband is poor. He will become poor. Because serving the Lord is not easy. Luxury doesn't come. You need to adjust. You should stop your desires. You need to control your desires. Even though others, women are enjoying. Even fellow church members are enjoying luxuries. Because God has given them. If you don't have, please limit your desires. Please control your desires. For Christ's glory. Christ's glory. You need to help your husband in this area. What you buy, what you should not buy, you should know. See, if you ask something to buy something, your husband doesn't say, right? No. So he will suffer and buy things. So before you ask, think about, is my husband able to buy this? As a pastor, I am pastor's wife, right? Please think about it. Don't ask whatever you want. Ask what you need. But no need to ask. If your husband is pastor, he is godly, he knows what you want. He can give without asking. So you should have self-control as pastor's wife and also as young woman. Second quality of young women who are excellent in their own character is pursuing purity. Look at verse 5. It says, pure. pure refers to a pure from carnality, chaste. This refers to moral purity, especially it is sexual purity. This is talking about their faithfulness in marriage. You married one person, you should have faithfulness. You should not have immoral life. Your husband is the only one person you can enjoy him, whom you can seek after, whom you can love, whom you can share everything. But God has given that freedom, that privilege to have that relationship with your husband. But don't misuse. But there are some women, young women, they does like this. They are unfaithful to their husbands. They are running after other men because they feel they are like Bollywood heroes somehow. They are not satisfied with their husbands. These things may happen. I am not saying these things happen among us, but I hope nothing will happen among us. But we need to be very careful. As young women, you should have purity even in your moral life, even in your sexual life. Even 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1, it says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. Then 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 2 says, as they observe your chaste and respectable behavior. Again, he is using same word, purity, sexual purity, moral purity. If a wife has moral purity, if wife has respectable behavior, husband can believe in Lord Jesus Christ. Husband can be attracted to Lord Jesus Christ, even though he is an unbeliever. Holiness is such an important thing. It is not weak thing. It is very strong thing. You can glorify God by having this excellent character. By having excellent character. Not only for young women, even we pastors, we must have this high qualification. We should not run after any woman. We should be faithful to our own wives as pastors. Those who are already married. Those who are unmarried, keep your heart. Keep your heart. Reserve your heart. Reserve your love only for your wife, future wife. So this is great sin. If someone is doing this kind of act, being unfaithful to his wife, he is disqualified, right? He is disqualified for ministry. So this is very important to everybody else. So we have seen first mark is being lovers of their own family. Second mark, being excellent in their own character. Third mark of godly young women is being focused on their own duties at home. Being focused on their own duties at home. Look at verse 5. It says, workers at home. The young women are also to be trained themselves. They need to focus on their own duties at home. He does not oppose the job of wife outside of the church, outside of the home. But what Paul is saying here, if she has a husband, if she has a children, she must love them. She must not neglect them. Always running after job, doing job and going early morning, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and coming night, 10 o'clock, no time for husband, no time for children. She is not at home. Paul is opposing those kind of things. If you have children, if you have husband, you need to work at home. You need to focus on those works. Don't think that those are unimportant tasks. Even those things are important tasks. Do you think some of young women, godly women, will be rewarded more than pastors? Because of doing this, because they are obeying God's word, they are working at home, because of that God is going to reward. Because God is going to count every godliness to reward his people. But here we need to understand, you can do job, you can do work at home, at the same time you can do some job which is related to the home. For example, you can read later Psalm 31, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 16 says like this, "She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard." Verse 18 says, "She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night." Verse 24, "She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belt to the tradesmen." See, she is doing work at home. It's like no day to day supporting our family. It doesn't mean you neglect your family, neglect your home and go do your job. But there is a time you can do job, but you should focus your own home. You need to work at your own home. You see, here ladies working, making some things, clothes and selling. Just I want to encourage you as pastor's wife. See, you can do some work initially. If your church is not able to support you, your husband is earning little money, if it is not enough to pay school fees, just you can do some work. How this lady is working? Proverbs 31, right? She is maybe stitching, baking cake and preparing cookies. Something you do at home and sell. Selling what you have talent, right? Gifts. That is not sin. You can sell it. You can sell it to support your husband, to support your family. Nothing wrong with that. Don't be very so spiritual. Are, how can I sell things to our church members? No, that is different. You can love them in other ways, but you can use your talent to support, to assist your own family. These are the things young women has to do. Otherwise, what will happen? They will become lazy. No work for them, just going here and there. Going here and there. You need to do work at home. At the same time, you need to support even your husband. You can do some things at home. Nothing wrong with that. But one thing you need to remember, don't leave your home for job to get more salary, money. That is not biblical. That is not biblical. Even Paul says, why he is saying like this, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13 says, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13 says, "At the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips, but busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention." Lazy women will not love their duties at home. Did you see that? Lazy women will not love their duties at home because they love to go house to house. Not only becoming lazy and also becoming and sinners, becoming devil, gossiping. Did you see that gossiping? Paul has this in his mind. If younger women do not focus on their duties at home, then they will become lazy and they will go around the house to house. Not only being lazy, but also gossiping and busybodies and speaking things that are not biblical. To overcome these sins, medicine is to be busy at home. Busy at home. Do things at home. That time you don't have enough time to gossip, to go to house to house, to speak more than 1 hour, 2 hours with somebody else. Because you are busy at home. You have to look after your family. You have to look after your children. You have to do many things. Best job you have. That's why we call homemaker, not housewife. Better word is homemaker. It is best job than any other job. Than any other job. If you think about the duties of younger women at home, simply, so some women, they say that, "I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to clean house. I don't know how to wash dishes. I don't know how to decorate my house, keeping my house neat." Some of them don't know how to arrange dining tables. But if you think about, if you are a Christian lady, If you are following Christ, you need to work hard at your home. You should know how to cook, how to clean, how to wash dishes. Yeah, husband will help you when you are needed, but that is your job because you love it. Because you love it, God-given job. There is a proverb in Telugu. If in Telugu like this, illu chudu illalu chudu, which means look at the house before you look at the wife of that house. Look at the house before you look at the house, wife of that house. Meaning of that proverb is, you can discern the godliness and the character of that wife by looking at the neatness of that house. So that is proverb that we used to listen. That is true as well. If you go to somebody's house, that house is not neat, here and there, and not properly placed, that means that woman is not godly. Not godly. Sometimes it can be messy because of children. Those things fine. But no, it should be neat and clean. Neat and clean. Why those house is not neat? Because she is not working. She is becoming lazy. She is running after something else. She does not have time to work it. Maybe she is spending time with other ladies and talking other things. Maybe Bible also. What is the use if you are discussing with somebody else about the word of God, but you are not working at home? Even sometimes spiritual things will become sinful. Do you agree with me? Because priority is important. What is your priority? Your priority is making your home. But don't look down on it. Don't look down on it. But God is going to, Christ is going to reward you on this job. On this job. The another practical thing, no, wise wisdom. Wisdom is here. If you are not busy with work at home, you will do gossip. You go around house to house. You will waste your time. That is the reason why God is writing to you. The fourth mark of godly young woman is being kind to others. Being kind to others. Look at verse 5. It says kind. The Greek word for kind is good. Being good. Young women are to be good, which means they are to be gentle and caring, friendly, sympathetic and kind. They must be kind and good even to those who are undeserving and kind to them. Why I am saying that? If you think about Luke chapter 6 verse 35, it reads like this. Luke chapter 6 verse 35, Jesus says like this. But love your enemies and do good. Same Greek word used here. Love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High. For himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. The principle and motivations to be kind to others, to be good to others is you should not expect anything in return if you are doing something good to others. You should be kind to ungrateful, even evil men. Who are evil men? Who are ungrateful people in your life? First of all, your husband. He is ungrateful. He is not recognizing what you are doing. He is criticizing sometimes. You feel he is ungrateful to me. He is ungrateful. See, even though they are ungrateful to you, husband is ungrateful, your children are ungrateful sometimes. You are cooking nice food, bendi, brinjal, biryani, but your children are saying, I don't like it. I don't like it. That food is very tasty. That food is very tasty. What they are doing, they are being ungrateful. Even though they are being ungrateful, you have to do good things for them. You should be kind to them. Kind to them. Don't get angry. See, I am doing a lot of things. What you are saying about me? Don't say that. Just you do good things. Be kind to them. Be friendly with them. And pray for them so that they can change. So what is the motivation from this verse? Luke chapter 6 verse 35. You will be a child of the Most High God. You will be child of Most High God. Another motivation. Your reward will be great in
heaven. Your reward will be great in heaven. Did you see that? If you are kind to others, especially those who are ungrateful, evil men, so you are becoming child of God. You will receive great reward. So be kind to others. The fifth mark of godly young women is being submissive to their own husbands. Being submissive to their own husbands. Look at verse 5, it says, being subject to their own husbands. Meaning of being subject is to arrange under, put yourself in subjection. Meaning of this word is willingly putting yourself under somebody else, that is your husband. It has a basic idea of obedience. Whatever he says, as head of that house, you need to listen. To submit one's control, you are putting yourself under somebody else. But I want to motivate you, sisters, with four facts so that you can be submissive to your own husband. The first motivation is, think about this. Christ is the model for submission. Christ is the model for submission. Colossians chapter 3 verse 18 says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. As is fitting in the Lord. Look at the phrase, as is fitting in the Lord. The use of as is a comparison between connected ideas. Tells how something is to be done. We can say just as, or in the same way, in this manner you need to submit. So what the scripture is saying, how Christ submitted to God the Father, in this manner, in this way, you need to submit to your own husband. Christ is the model. Philippians chapter 2 verse 6 to 8, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant and being made in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Did you see the great example of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the glorious Lord? All angels, they are not able to see his majesty. They are praising him, holy, 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 but he hide every his privileges. He emptied himself, means he covered all his glory, became man and obeyed God the Father as complete man. So he is your model. Don't feel that, are, why should I submit? Why I need to submit? Submission is not weak thing. Submission is powerful thing. Even we can see that second motivation is the submissive woman is powerful, not weak. The submissive woman is powerful, not weak. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1 says, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. If somebody has unbelieving husband, if she has submissive heart, even God can change that person. Are, I am troubling her. I am troubling so much. I am not loving her, but she still submit to me. She has excellent character. She has excellent behavior. She always listens to me. So what will happen? I want to know your God. I want to know whom you believed in him. So then what will happen? He can listen the gospel. He can be saved. So that's why I am saying the submissive woman is powerful, not weak, because of Christ. She is powerful. The third motivation will be this. The submissive woman is beautiful in the sight of God. Unsubmissive woman is ugly in the sight of God. But it is not talking about outward things. It is talking about inward things. If you are submitting to your husband, whenever you submit to your husband, God will see you as beautiful in his eyes. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 3 onwards. It says, your adornment must be merely external, braiding the hair
and wearing gold jewelry, putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart. With the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Did you see? Which is precious in the sight of God. God is not looking at outward appearance. God is looking at inward appearance. How you are submitting to your husband. How you are obeying your husband. Did you see that? Which is precious. Precious in the sight of God. That's the reason I said the submissive woman is beautiful in the sight of God. In submissive woman is ugly in the sight of God. She is not precious in the sight of God. Did you see how God is thinking about submission? Don't feel bad. Don't think that this is weak thing. This is not weak thing. This is great thing. Not only that, see, Christ is your model for that. That is first motivation. Second motivation, submissive woman is powerful, not weak. Third motivation, submissive woman is beautiful in the sight of God. The fourth motivation is the godly woman in the Bible is submissive. If you have any model in the Bible, if you know any godly woman in the Bible, they are submissive. They are submissive. How can I say that? If you ask me, how can I say, look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him baby, sweetheart. Did Peter say like that? Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Lord, earthly master. See, I know I have heavenly master. After my heavenly master, you are my earthly master. She is calling him Lord, not baby, not sweetheart. I am not saying don't call. You call. But remember, he is your Lord. He is your Lord. He is your Lord. He has authority. God kept you above you. He has authority. Call him sometimes Lord. Nothing small capital. Not capital L. Small letter. Small L you can call. Small Lord. You can call small Lord, my baby. You can call like that. See, think about it. You need to think always biblically. Even Sarah is calling like that. You have become her children. When you become her children in godliness, when you call your husband Lord, when you submit yourself, when you put yourself under him, right? So these are the motivations. If you have any model in the Bible, even Sarah, godly woman, is submissive. So there is no place to escape from submission. Robertson, the beloved former president of Columbia Bible College, he gave his resignation letter to that college because his wife is not doing well. He wrote these words, "My dear wife," he wrote to college principal. College people. He wrote that he is going to resign his job because in that letter he wrote, "My dear wife has been in failing health condition for 8 years. I managed until now, but her condition is not good. The decision was made in the way 42 years ago when I promised to care for my wife in sickness and health till death do apart. She has cared for me fully, sacrificially all these years. If I care for her next 40 years, I would not be out of debt. She is a delight to me. Her childlike dependence and confidence in me, her warm love, it is a high honor to care for so wonderful person." So she has looked after 40 years. Now she is not doing well. So to look after that, his wife, he gave resignation letter. My question now to you, sisters, will your husband say like this? Because of your obedience, your submission to your husband, because of your godliness, how you loved him. But if you have these qualities, he can say it. He can look after you. He can love you more than anyone else on the earth after Christ.
So these are the marks of godly young women that you should know. The second thing that you must know to be trained in godliness is the motivation. Why you should be trained in godliness? The motivation is to guard the testimony of God's word. To guard the testimony of God's word. Look at verse 5, part B. It says, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. The idea is, when younger women don't fulfill their duties, the word of God will be dishonored. When they pursue godliness, then the word of God will not be dishonored. Did you get that point? If you are not doing, if you are not having godliness, then people dishonor the word of God. The meaning of the verb dishonored is reviled, blasphemed. The idea is to slander, revile, defame, to speak irreverently. So what Paul is saying here, if you don't have godliness, if you don't pursue this godliness, what will happen? People, Gentiles, others, they will dishonor, they will slander the word of God. These people, they go to church, this lady go to church, but she is not godly. So whom she believed, he is not good. His word is not good. He is not sufficient. What will happen? Ungodliness of young women leads others go away from Christ, go away from the gospel. Did you see that? It is such an important thing. Don't take casually. Your godliness is matter. Very important. Others will dishonor, disrespect, blaspheme the word of God if you are not doing well, if you don't have godliness. Even 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be slandered. Slandered. The way of the truth will be slandered. The word of God will be slandered, blasphemed. So such an important, your character, your godliness, very important, sisters. Please look after. Please be trained in godliness. You need to memorize these verses, especially 4 and 5. Titus chapter 2, 4 and 5. You need to say it without looking at. Or if you have bad memory, just write it down and stick it on the wall near kitchen where you stay most of the day, in your bedroom. And read it. But remember, you need to guard the testimony of God's word. That is the motivation why you should be godly. I know one incident which is breaking my heart. One church was closed recently. One brother called me. I know that pastor well. So what I asked, why did they close that church? That village closed that church. Why did they? You need to open that church. I said, no. What happened? I asked. They said, one lady in the church, she is not behaving. She is unfaithful to her husband. She is doing immoral things with other people in that village. Village elders came to know that the lady who is going to the church, she is not behaving herself. She is disturbing other families. So they came together. They have planned together. Then they told, church should not run in this village. Did you see that? The word of God is so practical. That's why he wrote it. If you are not behaving, if you don't have godliness, even people will hate Christ. People will close churches. People will run away from Christ. See, instead of being light to the world, salt to the world, when we behave ungodly, when we are behaving ungodly, when we are running after the world, what will happen? The word of God will be slandered, blasphemed. I beg you, sisters, and even brothers, even our lifestyle, even sisters' lifestyle is most important thing. Especially pastors' qualities, especially pastors' wife qualities, family qualities, most important thing. When we are not perceiving godliness, then church will be closed. People won't come to Christ. So that's why Paul is writing. It is very important. It is very important. God may help us. God may help each and every young woman who is following Christ, and each and every one of us who are pastors, to pursue godliness so that we may guard the testimony of God's word. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you so much. Lord, we know who we are. We are weak, but you are strong. Lord, your word is sufficient to sanctify us, to give us wisdom, to help us to lead godly life. Lord, we pray each and every one of us. Lord, help us, Lord, to have holy and godly life so that we can guard the testimony of God's word, so that we can exalt you, Lord, in our society. Lord, take away, Lord, the things which is displeasing you, Lord. Lord, help us to walk according to your word, to please Christ. Lord, help us, Lord, to be the light to the world, taste to the world, not stopping other people to come to Christ. Lord, help us, Lord. Show mercy on us. Sanctify us through your Spirit, through your word, by your mercy. Be our God forever and ever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.